This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
This is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for and by the LGBTI community, taking you around the globe one queer story at a time. I'm Matt, and the Worldwide Wave team continues to bring you the global LGBTI news and stories from our lounge rooms and bedrooms. And I'm joined tonight by Shannon.
Hey.
Hello, Paul.
Good evening.
And welcome, Stefan.
Hello.
Serbia has had a shady history with LGBT rights, showing moments of hope clouded by pain of homophobia and attacks. But surprisingly, in 2017, a lesbian became Prime Minister of Serbia, and she was re-elected this month. As Serbia pushes for entry to the European Union, we find out what is changing for the LGBTI community, or is it just for looks?
Jelena Vasiljevic is the Capacity Development Manager for ERA, LGBTI Equal Rights Association. For over 15 years, Jelena has been dedicated to working on improving the position of LGBTI community with special focus on addressing lesbian and feminist issues. From her current role with ERA and former role with Labris, the lesbian human rights organization in Serbia, she brings us some unique insights tonight.
And here's a taste of what's coming up tonight.
Basically, it's nothing. But for the state, in terms of, yeah, we are being so open towards the LGBTI community. Look, we have the lesbian prime minister. We are so open and democratic society, and everything is perfect in regards to LGBT human rights in Serbia. That happened. And basically, the highest peak of pinkwashing was appointment of Ana Brnabic as a lesbian, not as a professional, not as a business professional person, but in terms of she's being lesbian appointed.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
It was only 7 years ago that pride marches in Serbia were banned. LGBTI people could expect homophobia or transphobia with limited support from authorities. But there has been a change. Pride marches are happening and local mayor are even joining in. Then in 2017, Ana Brnabic became the first openly lesbian prime minister of Serbia. To find out what is driving the changes, we spoke with Jelena Vasiljevic, the capacity development manager covering the Western Balkans and Turkey for ERA, LGBTI Equal Rights Association. We ask Jelena to give us an idea of what life is like for LGBTI people inside of Serbia.
Well, considering that now we have progressed, I would say that it is difficult. I mean, the hate crime rates and the violent rates are still high. The hate speech is quite high. But in regards to the situation that had, I would say, like 10 years ago, it's getting better. Those are like baby steps. But I mean, we have the great legislation, anti-discrimination legislation that includes sexual orientation, gender identity adopted in Serbia. But in reality, we don't have the implementation of those laws, basically. And what we are, in majority of cases, we are seeing like state using pinkwashing techniques to represent for the outer, for the European level and global level, that everything is just like perfect for LGBTI community in Serbia because we have like lesbian prime minister. But in reality, it's not so great. We have, I mean, now you have like as I said, high rates of hate crimes, hate speech. You also have the high rates of unemployed LGBTQ people because they're being fired for their own sexual orientation or gender identity. And you have those kind of cases that are basically happening now.
So when you talk about pink washing, you said because of wanting to join the EU, everything's been put into place, but the attitude is...
The general population, yeah. It is moving. I mean, those are like small percentages based on research that our LGBT organizations have done, and ERA among them also have done. It's small percentage of like moving towards acceptance, but it's not like all those percentages that LGBT community would like. I mean, for instance, they can now accept that they have like the neighbor who is LGBT, member of LGBTIQ community. They can understand a family member is, but still they would like have small push up back towards those persons. Also, the World Bank and ERA did the research in terms of housing. So basically, if LGBTIQ, couple is renting the flat, there is a huge possibility that they will have some challenges in terms of landlords and something similar. So not so great.
Yelena, how powerful an influence is the Orthodox Church in daily life in Serbia?
Well, it always depends. It depends on what kind of relationship the church has with the state, and are they on good terms or not, because state is using the church for various things in those regards. I mean, they're still quite loud in terms of homosexuality and everything in regards to that, but not so loud in terms of, I mean, 10 years ago, you couldn't like see any LGBTI gatherings or events that wouldn't have some church member protesting outside. Now it's not so different because they're now just like on pride parades and something, but other events are not so visited. They're not loud in terms of, I mean, we have the situation in the region when you have like the head of the church saying that COVID is produced by the gay people. And then you have like those kind of, I mean, it's ridiculous now. But in terms of Serbia, the church is quite more being a tool from the state for the various things, political things. Now they are loud, but not so loud as they were like 10 years ago.
And we have seen a rise of right-wing groups and extremism and you know, very homophobic groups in many parts of Europe. Is that happening in Serbia as well?
Well, we are it's different. It's not different from other parts from Europe, because we have, I mean, our government is more right-centered, but right. Far-right groups are, I mean, banned by the constitution, but in reality, they're still operating. They're not as loud as they were in the past, but we are seeing that there is possibility that those groups would be used in the future, I would say.
You mentioned your prime minister before, and I think Ana Brnabic, she's been prime minister since 2017, and she's open being a lesbian. So what influence do you think her being a lesbian has on societal attitude toward LGBTIQ people?
Well, depends. The thing that I'd like to say the most, at least now every household in Serbia knows the word lesbian. And that's as far as it goes, because in reality, she did have some small meetings and not so public meetings with LGBT activists and groups, but in reality, nothing major happened. No laws were adopted in terms of same-sex partnership law, gender recognition law, or any provision of the laws that were basically addressing the issues of LGBTIQ community. So in reality, in her term, she didn't do much in terms of LGBTIQ issues, but in terms of visibility of the community, she did do a lot. The only thing that we have as a community challenge is that she's more centered right, because she's now part of the ruling party, and that basically she's used as a puppeteer basically for various things.
From Serbia, that's Jelena Vasiljevic of the LGBTI Equal Rights Association on Joy 94.9.
Now, something a little bit interesting, a little bit different, I heard from Yelena, that they have the laws but not the implementation. Quite often we hear from countries where they have the laws but the culture is such that people don't respect them, don't enact them. This seems to be more of a bureaucratic issue where they're not willing to implement.
I think it's also the latter, Matt, that it is also the culture. So I think one is linked to the other because they haven't got the culture to actually implement it. No one's bothering to implement it.
Yelena also talks about pinkwashing, that there's a lot of things that seem to be more for show than for the benefit of the LGBTI community.
Well, I mean, it's a start, I guess, but it's happened in a lot of countries that are trying to join the EU. They have to have, you know, all these benchmarks, so they put all this thing into place, and then there's no real community support. Or I think we talked about that a little bit in, when we covered Georgia, and all these countries that are trying to attain EU membership, they have to have all this. So it's a good thing because it's obviously going, will change after a while, but in the beginning, it's very difficult with societal attitude, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like the legislation is just, like, it's very important, and it is a good thing that the EU has it as a benchmark because it's forcing countries to start that change.
Let's talk a bit about the role of the church. It's the Serbian Orthodox Church. About 85% of the country falls within this church. But I was stunned by the way Yelena explained this, that the state is using the church. The state is leveraging the reach of the church for political purposes, which is normally we talk about it from the church influencing the state. This seems to go the other way.
I imagine it's because there's probably a close tie between the two. I'm just wondering if that's particularly of the Balkans, that there is a close link between church and state.
I'm not sure, but I mean, it is a good question, right? Like, you know, it's hard to tell sometimes if it's really the state influencing the church. Like they're so often intertwined, and like the members of the government are often so intertwined with the beliefs of the church.
Now, visibility. Every household knows the word lesbian. Is that the only benefit of having a lesbian prime minister?
Again, is it a good start because it's becoming more? I'm trying to see the silver lining. Is this just, you know, everybody's getting used to it and it will change eventually because it's just a norm now. It's not a problem. She's the prime minister. She's doing, I don't know, good job probably because she's been re-elected. And it's becoming just normal and maybe society, the attitude would change.
It doesn't sound like they know what the B is or what the T is or what the I is. So I'm not sure how much it's helping the community to get more visibility.
Look, it is a start. I mean, often it's the other way around, right? Often it's there's a lot about gay men, and that's kind of something that's more visible than having like a lesbian leader. So I guess in a lot of countries you see it like the other way around. It's just more exposure, right? And any exposure is pretty good. Any exposure just adds a little bit more to the future.
And Yelena says that attitudes have changed. So people are not, they're willing to have a gay neighbour, or they can accept if there's a gay or a lesbian or a rainbow member of the family. So right, maybe it is baby steps and this is the first one.
Baby steps in Serbia. Coming up, we find out whether the LGBTI community expected too much from their lesbian prime minister. This is Worldwide Wave.
Hi, this is Costa Gavrilidis, the president of Accept LGBT Cyprus, and you're on the Worldwide Wave.
Now, even though we are currently broadcasting outside of the studios, you can still message us. Worldwide Wave or W3Joy on Facebook is where you will find us. A message during the week, we had a story there about a queer feminist housing project that was forcibly evicted after being in their home for 3 decades. 1,500 police officers in full riot gear turned up to do the eviction. Brett has some really strong opinions on this, and he's posted them. The amount of police and their conduct was not appropriate. Good work, Brett. We love hearing from you. You can catch us on World Wide Wave or W3Joy on Facebook.
In the past few weeks, Ana Brnabic was re-elected as Prime Minister of Serbia. The fact that Serbia elected an openly lesbian Prime Minister should have been a cause for celebration and hope from the LGBTI community. But things are not always as they seem. Jelena Vasiljevic is the Capacity Development Manager of the LGBTI Equality Rights Association. We asked Jelena how the local LGBTI community in Serbia has reacted.
I mean, we had huge expectations in terms of her being appointed, and she should be the voice for the community. But in reality, nothing happened, nothing, she didn't do anything. And she didn't condemn anything that was happening. So basically, it's nothing. But for the state, in terms of, yeah, we are being so open towards the LGBTI community. Look, we have the lesbian prime minister. We are so open and democratic society, and everything is perfect in regards to LGBT human rights in Serbia. That happened. And basically, the highest peak of pinkwashing was appointment of Ana Brnabic as a lesbian, not as a professional, not as a business professional person, but in terms of she's being lesbian appointed.
So the fact that you didn't get any of those changes while she was prime minister, that must be, is the community fairly disappointed in that? Or do you think maybe the community had, you know, was hoping for too much, had too high an expectation?
No, community didn't have high expectations. We had, I mean, for the last decade and a half, we are advocating for the changes and adoption of those two laws, gender recognition and same-sex partnership law. So basically, we did not have the high expectation in terms of, yeah, she's going to be the one who's going to deliver us those laws. But we did have the expectations of her to organize the meetings for the major LGBTIQ organizations in Serbia. We did have the expectations in terms of that she's going to be at least one who's going to open the door for us in terms of when the question is not on political agenda, that she's going to raise those questions and challenges, not doing it for herself personally, but for the community to create some political mechanisms that the community can and will be using in the future. You know, I mean, we all know that she and her partner now have a kid. And it's the situation that is like replicated in Serbia. We have lesbian couples who are having kids, and the second mother does not have the right, doesn't have the rights. The child is in the books written as like single mother family, and child doesn't have all the rights that it's supposed to have. So basically, we at least expected her to open the doors for the conversation on that. What's going to happen with the adoption of the same-sex couples in terms of children from the same-sex couples, you know, but she never did. And that's it.
I did actually read a story where shortly after that, the Prime Minister and her partner had the baby, that the government banned all family planning services for same-sex couples, like a bit of a reversal almost.
There were never any procedures, or at least in the healthcare system, nothing was available for the same-sex couples to have kids. So basically, the same-sex couples did use alternatives in terms of Danish sperm banks. They did use the, because they couldn't even have it shipped in Serbia, they were going abroad to have the procedures done. So nothing was happening in Serbia. The community did organize itself, and in each individual couple had different experience going through that procedures.
You mentioned that a little bit, but I'd like to go back to it. In July, I think a lesbian couple launched a bid to win legal recognition for same-sex partners. So what's the likelihood that this bid will have a favorable outcome?
We'll see. I mean, from 2010, major organizations are working on adoption. They drafted the law, and the law has been submitted to the parliament, and all things are happening. I mean, we did have the case, strategic litigation case against Serbia in terms of recognition of same-sex couples, and things are progressing slowly. The thing is that government did have the obligation to organize the public hearing of the law, and they did not organize it. So, I mean, baby steps. something is happening, something is progressing, but it's not as fast as we would like it to be because of the challenges that we as a community and we as a couples are facing in those terms. But we are seeing it like in this year or maybe next year that's maybe going to happen. I mean, it's hope that we are having.
Again, given you've had an openly lesbian prime minister, do you think that has had an influence on how women are seen in society, regardless of sexuality?
No.
No?
Nothing. No, nothing changed. I mean, we know that political parties do have quotas that they need to fill out for the gender equality. But in terms of women in parliament and in political parties being engaged, that's not so high. We are still living in highly patriarchal society. I mean, Balkan region is highly patriarchal and the women do have voice in certain levels, but not that much.
That was Yelena Pasilevich of the LGBTI Equal Rights Association speaking with us from Serbia on Joy 949.
I would think there would be many LGBTI communities around the world who would love, who would relish having an openly LGBTI leader.
It's definitely going to be giving a positive image of lesbians for Serbia. Well, I'm assuming it's actually a positive because it doesn't seem very positive from Jelena's point of view in that nothing seems to have much changed. So, yeah, they've got a lesbian leader, but it's been so what?
Yeah, I mean, it's complicated as all those things are because, I mean, you've got to think... It doesn't seem like much has changed, and that is obviously upsetting. But then on the other side, you've got to think, well, if she pushed more the LGBT things, would she just not be the leader anymore?
I was thinking, you know, there's so many influences into a leadership like this, and to keep some people, to be able to stay, you have to make compromises. And maybe that's something, I mean, it's a beginning, as I was saying earlier, it's the beginning, but... I mean, and maybe the expectation were too much from people. I don't know exactly what, but maybe we, you know, and it's always, you always want to have a lot of hope when LGBTI leader is around and thinking everything will change, but it's little by little.
I thought Yelena, though, had quite a balanced view that she should be able to use her influence and introduce people. Introduce the leaders of the LGBTI community to the people who can change policy, get them talking. I was kind of blown away a bit by her statement that there has been no change at all in the way women are seen in Serbian society.
Yeah, I mean, that is shocking. I mean, we're obviously a very different country, but we also didn't treat our first female prime minister with exactly respect and dignity around when we talked about gender and when we described her as a nation. I think maybe it obviously takes more than one female leader, often even in countries that have progressed a bit further in that way, to be able to have those sort of conversations and to be able to have that sort of like change.
So the first one to break the glass ceiling and the second one to be able to benefit from it.
I mean, I think it's a great step. I think it will change things eventually. Even if it's only young girls seeing her, that in 20 years will change things.
Coming up on Joy 94.9, Yelena gives us an insight into the challenges of making change across the broader Balkan region and Turkey. This is World Wide Wave.
Hi, this is Janne, Mr. Gay Finland, and you are listening on the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
A special hello to everybody listening to us on podcast. You can subscribe to receive the podcast automatically either at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to leave a review.
Speaking of podcasts, which are incredibly popular, they've gone up, you know, there's a gazillion of them now. Of course, you can listen to ours online as well. But Joy has a brand new podcasting and radio content course. So if you've never done it before, we can teach you how. You'll be trained by Joy's expert team of trainers and learn the basics of podcasting, writing for radio and podcasts, a bit about the law, interviewing techniques, presenting, editing, the whole shebang. It's an online course. You can use the equipment you have at your own home. To find out more, go to joy.org.au. We'd love to hear from you.
And that's one of the advantages of COVID. You can be anywhere in Australia. You don't have to be in Melbourne.
Like us in our lounge rooms.
Tonight we've stopped off in Serbia. In her current role, Jelena Vasiljevic is the Capacity Development Manager of the LGBTI Equal Rights Association. The role works across the broader region of the Western Balkans and Turkey. We asked Jelena what support services were available for the LGBTI community in that region.
So the services that you're having basically is something that it's near. I mean, you have, police did appoint the official LGBTI liaison officers in several cities. You have the social services centers do work on mediation and case litigation cases. You have psychological counseling that is organized, not by the state, but the organizations are organizing. You have HIV testing that is organized also by the organizations. But the state, not so much, I would say. State is not so recognizing the challenges that LGBTIQ community is facing. That is especially in terms of intersex persons and sexual recognition of sexual characteristics. There is nothing in the legal system. There is nothing that the conversation on that topic is not even initiated.
So that's not something that's need to be in place if for joining the EU.
Well, basically, sounds like that. Yeah.
Does the L, the G, the B, and the T in our community, do they acknowledge that? Is the community making a push for those sorts of changes, or do you think that it's just not quite there yet?
Well, it depends. We are still having, like, in every single community throughout the world, you have, like, discrimination within LGBTI community, you have the discrimination of bisexual people, you have discrimination of trans persons, you have no conversation on intersex people throughout the world. So we're not so different from all other communities, basically.
Now, your current role with ERA, the Equal Rights Association, is about capacity development and I assume capacity building. Tell us what that means in your situation across the Western Balkans and Turkey.
So basically what it means that we are doing the assessments of capacity assessments of organizations and we are trying to, I mean, within ERA we have 67 organizations as members and those members are throughout Western Balkans and Turkey and we are trying to raise their capacities in terms of whatever they needed. We are organizing the trainings, we are organizing now webinars because everything is online. We're organizing the mentorship course in various sections of the organizational development that it's needed. We're working on strategic development, strategic planning development, and et cetera. We're working on the campaigns with them. We're working on various things. Basically, just raising the capacities of the LGBTIQ movement throughout the region.
And is Turkey a particular challenge for you at the moment?
It is. I mean, the Turkey is completely different. And what we recognize is that we need to have a separate program that will be dealing specifically with Turkey, considering the political situation and the challenges that the country and the community is facing in Turkey. So we're just like setting up something that is going to be specifically tailor-made for that country.
Jelena Vasiljevic from the Equal Rights Association speaking to us from Serbia. Thank you so much for joining us on Worldwide Wave.
Thank you for having me.
There was some really good support available for the LGBTI community, which is great. Not so much on the state side of things, but the fact that there's police liaison officers, that's actually, I find that as a really progressive support that is available to the LGBT community, particularly in a country where you haven't got the cultural change yet for acceptance. So at least you have somewhere to go, you have somewhere to be able to, get support should somebody attack you.
Yeah, that was surprising to me as well, because normally I associate having liaison officers sort of later down the road of getting
the road equality, of progress.
Progress, yeah, thank you. Yeah, so to have them already there is a very good step, actually. Doesn't counter all the negative things about losing, you know, possible housing discrimination and no support from the state. But, hey, this show seems to be about taking baby steps. So I think another baby step in the right direction.
Yeah, the housing discrimination did actually get me. Look, I know maybe we've moved on so long that I've stopped thinking about that sort of thing. But certainly, the need, the security that a house over your head provides, to have that at risk is an incredibly powerful tool in the wrong hands.
Yeah, and I think the impact on housing, as you were saying, that housing discrimination and the stress that it brings, if you, you know, having to hide in case your landlord finds out, it must be really, really difficult.
Let's talk a bit about capacity building and the work that ERA is doing there about building and empowering leaders. And I think they're really on a good approach here, because they're not going in and telling people how to do things in their country. They're taking the leaders and they're giving them the skills and mentoring them to be able to make the right approach within their individual country.
And we've seen this so often in World Wide Wave, where it's the local approach that works best. So just trying to introduce the ideas that work in one country into another country, especially if that's a white Western country that's then trying to introduce what they think is the right thing to do, it doesn't work. You need to have the local approach by local people.
Also, even just taking into account where each country is in the process of moving towards acceptance, you know, it can sometimes be more damaging to try and go 1,000% and then have like backlash against that, then to be able to talk to the leader and say, well, these are the steps that you can take today that, you know, could be accepted. Like, we can work with you to find those sort of things. And, you know, and then to after that to do the next thing and then the next thing.
This is Ulrike Lunacek, member of the European Parliament and co-president of the Parliament's LGBT Intergroup on the World Wide Wave.
A huge thanks to Jelena Vasilovic from the ERA and the LGBTI Equal Rights Association in Serbia. And you can find more information about that at www.lgbti-era.org, and we can put that on our Facebook page.
Also, a big thank you to everyone that's interacted with us on Facebook. That's Mark, Milo, Alexandria, Penelope, Liz and a heap more. They have joined or interacted with us on Facebook in the past week. We're really easy to find on Facebook because we're W3Joy.
Our behind-the-scenes team is exceptional. Our podcaster, Peter, our social media master, Dean, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave, or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.